Welcome to Art.BSL Episode 5, Friday the 13th of August 2021. I'm Carrie Maloney from the Traveler Broads. In this episode, Steve the Mad Potter talks with recent retiree Edmund Meyer about living the golf cart life in Old Town. Then it's a quick trip up Main Street for Second Saturday at Gallery 220 with local artist Spencer Gray Jr. and Artist of the Month Amy Kramer.
Coming to you from the corner of Washington and Central in Bay St. Louis Depot District, welcome to Art.BSL, the podcast with a finger on the pulse of the buzzingest arts and culture scene on the Gulf Coast. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter. Join me and my illustrious team of insiders, wise guys, and know-it-alls every week as we take a deep dive journey into what's happening in Old Town, the Depot District, and all across the coast. So buckle your seatbelt, sit back, and get ready for the next episode of Art.BSL.
First up, let's meet Edmund Meyer. Like many of his peers, he splits his time between homes in Bay St. Louis and New Orleans. He's part of a new class of recently retired social animals prowling the restaurants, bars, and local scene in Old Town, all on a golf cart.
I'm here today in the studio with my neighbor right up the street on Washington Street, Edmund Meyer. How you doing today, Edmund?
Doing good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great. How long have you been in the Bay?
Became your neighbor in 13 or 14. Then you came here.
Yeah, I've had this building for about 6 years now here at the Creative Arts Center. And so we've been neighbors for a while, but you're really kind of managing your business. Now things are changing for you, right?
Sure, got to retire 6-7 months ago, and then
What were you doing before you retired?
Oh, it was furniture refinishing, upholstery, electrostatic painting.
You had done some work with Erica Larkin Gaudet, who's now at Studio Waveland. You worked with Erica when she was still based in New Orleans. Is that right?
Right. She was the metal artist. I did a lot of coating, clear coats for her, for some of her artwork, like her big sculpture pieces would be on the neutral ground.
All over New Orleans.
All over New Orleans, yeah.
All over the world, actually.
Right.
Erica and her husband, Mitchell, are really world-renowned, and they have a history of coming into underutilized areas, industrial spaces, and doing some placemaking, really making art as a reason to bring people together.
I haven't even been there yet since they've been here, and I need to go see them.
But we probably won't take the golf cart from the Bay to
Coleman. That's a little hike, yeah.
Yeah, but we do ride the cart around, don't we?
We do. We absolutely do.
So you have a special history with golf carts in Bay St. Louis, and tell us that story.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago. The golf carts were heating up in the Bay, police-wise, politics-wise. A lot of people were complaining about them. A lot of people liked them. And I was riding over to Old Town on my golf cart. Someone was following me on Long Beach Boulevard, pulled over in front of a lady at a golf church so the car could pass. Well, the car got behind me. It just parked with me. So then I said, all right, well, drove again, pulled into Cuz's parking lot. That same car followed me into Cuz's parking lot. And then a lady jumped out and she goes, hey, would you mind if I do a story with you on the golf carts? I work for
the Sun Herald.
I work for the Sun Herald and I'm writing a story on golf carts. So I asked the right away, is this a good story about golf carts or a bad story about golf carts?
It
makes a difference. She goes, oh, it's a good story. I like golf carts. I said, sure. Okay. Yeah. We can. Mm-hmm. We can talk. So, and because at the time in the Bay, they were really starting to have factions, whatever social media they were talking on. A lot of people wanted them to shut them down, and they're horrible, and little kids are riding around everywhere, and it's reckless, and this and that.
A little bit of anarchy.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were just the opposite. They were like, man, this is the best thing around. Mm-hmm. You guys don't, you know, it's a good way to go. You can get around easy, parking easy. They only go 20 miles an hour. It got into a very good conversation. You know, a lot of the pros are definitely the parking. Golf carts take up a whole lot less space. From back 3 years ago to right now, without a doubt, it's exponentiated. So everything we're talking about now is times 10.
Did you make that word up? Exponentiated.
Oh yeah. I got more coming. What ended up happening is Bay St. Louis did allow carts, and what they started doing is charging a $50
registration fee
each year. They won $50.
And they also did a safety check too, right? You had to have seat belts and directionals had to be like street worthy.
They wanted it all to be street worthy. Mm-hmm. Maybe that story helped the consensus of making the golf carts pass. Mm-hmm. And so they did. And it's really been good. And I don't know of any accidents. Do you know of any bad episodes with golf carts?
I know there was a while where there was some real alcohol problems. And they really had to crack down and issue, do breathalyzer and issue. So I did know about some DUIs for golf carts. I mean, because again, it was anarchy, right? And there's a lot of exposure for the city and liability, and
I don't know about that. What about, okay, so if there was DWIs in a golf cart, mm-hmm. what was their alternative? To drive a car? That would have been even worse.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that in the eyes of the law, you're operating a motorized vehicle, and a DUI in a golf cart is really just as serious an offense as a DUI in a car. And I think that's the
I agree with that, except I think there's a better safety factor with a golf cart. I don't think there can as much harm can be done.
Well, okay,
you're driving slower,
Right. So I'm not saying that you're rationalizing drinking and golf carts. I am. Okay. what I would say is if I'm drinking in Old Town, I'm not riding the golf cart. I'm not driving. I'll get on my bicycle. That's the safest thing to do. But anyway, we want you to stay safe. And I'm hoping you're going to kind of come back here and share with me stories and more about what it's like in the golf cart life.
Sure.
We're going to take a short break, Edmund, and then let's come back. And I want to talk with you a little bit more about this new podcast and what we're doing with it and what your interest is.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. Get a cool Art.BSL t-shirt and other cool swag, and thanks for your support.
So, Edmund, we're going to talk about this podcast now. I think last week I told you about this idea of a podcast. I think there's a communications vacuum right now. We're trying to kind of see if a podcast is the right thing to do with everything that's going on in the Bay. All the changes are happening. So it's a podcast. It's about arts and culture, but it's more than that. It's about a lifestyle. And what you said is you saw this as interested in my perspective. Like,
sure.
Talk about that.
Sure.
What's my perspective? How is it different from your perspective?
Sure. Your perspective is the art life. So everything you do, whether it's your pottery or your mm-hmm. putting your building back together, or mm-hmm. putting art on the walls all over town. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The mural project. The wall project, right.
I'm more on the social side with a lot of other retirees that are moving here, mm-hmm. or even people that just live to still work, but we all meet together, geez, 3-5 times a week. Mm-hmm. We're all running each other in O-Town. Mm-hmm. And it's a great, great venue, O-Town is, mm-hmm. with the bars and the restaurants they have. They're all very close. Mm-hmm. We were talking about golf carts. It's easy to take the golf cart to.
Right.
A lot of people, it's easy for them to walk to.
Sure.
So we know when we go there, we're all going to run into each other. Mm-hmm. And so we just became very good friends with a lot of locals that live here now.
Mm-hmm. And also people who are weekenders too, like weekend warriors that come in from Jefferson Parish and the North Shore for the weekend, right?
Yeah, and I'm considering a lot of those that are the weekend warriors that are also good friends. And then there's weekend warriors that just come in that we don't really know them.
More the tourists who are coming in with the vacation rentals, right?
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And we being the friendly people we are, we meet a lot of them. Some of them become more friendly with us. We see them more and we even start doing some things with them.
Socially, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Our side is strictly social. We know we're in an artsy town. Mm-hmm. And then when I was talking with you, mm-hmm. I was like, gee, Steve, I would really like to get a lot of these people to see the Bay more from your eyes and what you do. Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Sure. And I mean, whether it be the murals, I mean, some of us, we go run around with you putting that together, or going to see one of the artists or something like that, you know.
Yeah, didn't we ride around in the golf cart to give you a little tour of the murals and the breaker boxes?
That was fun. I wasn't here that weekend, so right. When you and I did that, it was like, I loved it. I was seeing all these murals I missed. I really like Pete Fountain, by the way.
Thanks. I kind of slipped that one in at the end. I did that one myself. Now, I am certainly not a portrait artist. One of the discussions that we had at the Historic Preservation Commission was this notion of honoring local heroes. So, you know, we're painting these breaker boxes that are these electrical boxes that control those iconic Bay St. Louis streetlights. They're these ugly boxes. They look like minions. They're 18 inches square, about 4 feet high. And Bay St. Louis City Council had approached me a couple of years ago about trying to paint them. And one of the ideas that we had kind of near the end that kind of came from Historic Preservation Commission was to honor local heroes and local artists on these murals. And so immediately I thought of Pete Fountain, who of course has this rich connection to Bay St. Louis. Sure. And back and forth. And, you know, musicians are artists. We absolutely. also honored another musician, James Booker, and 100 Men Hall, right? And James Booker's tribute is over on
Anique's.
You know, that Liz Schaefer was the artist that did that.
Sure. Yeah. Do you know James Booker gave Harry Connick Jr. piano lessons when he was like 12 years old?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That was a very, very interesting story. Booker, he drank a little and did some drugs and whatnot. And I think
he has a real character. Yeah,
and Harry Connick Jr.'s father was Harry Connick. He was the district attorney for New Orleans for many, many years. And he was also a pianist. So he knew Booker. And he got Booker to teach Harry Connick Jr., gave him piano lessons when he was like 12 years old. And I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was in one, Booker was in jail one night, and I guess he got his one phone call, and he called Harry Connick Jr. at his house. And it was late, maybe, I don't know, 11 o'clock. Let's say. But it's late for a 12-year-old. He got to talk. He goes, Harry, you got to come get me out of jail. I can't, you know, I don't know. I don't have any other phone calls. And he's going, Booker, you know, I can't. My parents, their bedroom's right next door. They're gonna, and besides, I can't drive. I'm 12 years old, you know. I thought it was a pretty funny story. But that's probably some of the reason Harry Connick Jr. is such an accomplished pianist.
Art.bsl comes to you from the production studios of the BSL Creative Arts Center at the corner of Washington and Central Streets in the Depot District. The Creative Arts Center, profiled in the June 2021 issue of Southern Living magazine, features a well-equipped pottery studio, teaching classes in wheel throwing, and hen building for all ages. Build anything you can imagine in our fab shop with metal wood and fiberglass. Print your own t-shirts in the screen printing studio. Learn mosaics with the Plate Thief. 3D printing, drone photography, podcast production, and so much more at the coast's most eclectic makerspace. Learn more at bslcac.com.
Next up, Steve goes on location for a quick trip up Main Street for Second Saturday at Gallery 220. It's a hive of 31 artists buzzing with patrons and all-around good vibes. It's there where he bumped into local artist Spencer Gray Jr.
It's Second Saturday at Gallery 220. We're here at the mothership of all things art in Old Town Bay St. Louis. I'm here with Spencer Gray. How you doing, Spencer?
Hey, doing great. Just want to say I really like how you said you're at the mothership of the art world right here. I was born in Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh.
Mothership, aliens.
There are some UFO stories I remember of Project Blue Book with the Air Force. You know, that was an inadvertent reference to your previous life on another planet. But,
possibly.
Well, you know, your stuff is kind of otherworldly. You're kind of been an icon on the coast here. And
well, thank you very much. Thank you.
This place is buzzing.
Gallery 220 is a great art spot. We've got some fantastic artists in here. If you want to come out and see some really fun artwork, come out and check out all the artists, the local artists. Everyone here is local. Come see my work. Come see the things that I do. From my background, I wanted to be a syndicated cartoonist.
Uh-huh.
Didn't quite make it down that career path. I went a slightly different way. Still in a creative field. I'm a jeweler by trade. My cartooning, I've always held on to the cartooning and drawing and sketching. However, I've put down my paintbrushes, my pencils, my pens, and I picked up spoons and forks and pots and pans. And so I do cartooning with those different types of vessels and shapes.
Yeah, there's so many people I know that have your little creations kind of sitting on the edge of their kitchen sink or around venerable places in their house.
Yeah.
Speaking of cartooning, I love the caricature that you've done of yourself. I think it's really...
It's quite handsome, huh? You know, I've been mistaken for Matthew McConaughey on several occasions.
Tell me a little bit about how you would describe the work that you do now.
I would say that it's all three-dimensional cartooning, and it's all about fun and fun antics that either animals or children or adults... get into. I love to capture motion. I don't like to just give you static figures. I like for them to be doing something, and it's all based on love also. So you'll always find a lot of emotion, a lot of happiness in the pieces that you see.
How do you put the metal pieces together?
So it's the craziest thing. I don't know if a lot of people will really get the sense of this, but welding for me, I'm not a welder. I don't really know how to weld. Conversely, welding for me would just be too easy because I take two pieces and put them together. I like to take a more difficult approach to putting the pieces together. I like to figure out the hard way how to put them together. So my pieces are put together with nuts and bolts and screws and rivets, and it makes me think more about the piece, how to actually make it work. So I really put a lot of love and heart and soul into it.
I never thought about it. It's almost like an erector set. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah, sort of.
So, Spencer, I've seen your work at lots of shows along the coast. I think you've won some awards. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
No, I've not won any awards.
Oh, that's not true. I've seen you art in the past.
That is. You know what? I take that back. Okay, so art in the past, we've done some awards there at Art in the Past. You know, it's not really about the awards for me, though. I really appreciate the audience participation, the people that come out and see the work. I mean, that's everything for me right there. When I can evoke some emotion, when I bring a smile to someone's face, everything right there.
And that's what's going on today. So being able to, you had some good interactions with some folks here today?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I drew this cartoon once. Where there was this really large fella, and he was looking at a piece of artwork of mine. At the time, I was making birdhouses out of boots.
Really?
Boot birdhouses. And so the cartoon is just a two-panel cartoon, and the guy is really large and imposing, and he's looking at that, he's really studying that boot birdhouse. And I walk up to him, I say, sir, is everything okay? And in the second frame, he says, that right there, son, that's my boot.
Well, Spencer Gray, your work always brings a smile to our face, and thanks for coming by to talk to us
today.
Thank
you so much. Thank you so much. And if those alien ships start landing in your backyard, just, you know, clear out some space for them.
For sure. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. This is Bernie Cohen. I'm down here at the Wayland Ground Zero Hurricane Museum, and I invite you to come see our traveling exhibit from the Smithsonian, Crossroads in Rural America. The museum's open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and admission is free.
We wrap up this episode with an interview with Gallery 220's Artist of the Month, Amy Kramer.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. More importantly, how are you doing? You've been on your feet talking to people all day long.
All day long.
You're Artist of the Month. You've been working busy. We've got some new work here. Why don't you tell me about the latest pieces you've been working on?
So the pieces in the window,
were inspired by Spencer Gray.
We just talked to him.
I know you
did. How big are those panels? It's like a triptych, right? There's three big panels.
Three big panels. They're unrelated, except after Spencer's gallery window last month, I had a lot to follow, and so I was really concerned about that. And so I needed to do something even bigger and better. And
raise the bar.
He's hard to follow.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to do something kind of thematic with all of the murals that have been going around town, town.
Awesome.
And so I wanted to do big. Mm-hmm. They're 34 by 64.
Wow.
Rather large. And they're banners right now, but eventually, I have frames built that I'll stretch them and sell them as canvases.
Are those the biggest pieces you ever done before?
No. I like big.
Well, good. Well, I want to see you start to do some work on some building facades, so let's find one.
I can do that. I was interested in the wall-to-wall theme, but I was kind of late to the game.
Well, we're going to do that again, and we hope for your participation.
Yeah, I love repeating designs on large canvases, and I typically do large and then cut them up because a small canvas intimidates me.
Interesting.
If I have a lot of room, I can spread out.
I never heard of anybody doing that before. That's a great idea.
Especially if someone says, will you do a donation? Mm-hmm. I cut canvases up and I can split the loaves and give everybody a little bit.
Oh, good. There are like 31 artists in here?
There are 31 artists, and we're here. They're all local artists. We have Clay Creations in the back, and Janice and Mark Currier have made a living on their small clay, hand-built, fired, and painted here and sold here. And then the artists up front, we have a menagerie of woodworkers.
Every kind of medium. Mosaic.
It's painting, mixed media.
Sculpture, yeah.
Photography, finger painters, all kind of stuff going on. So, yeah, Spencer is crazy creative. So he had this incredible piece in the front window, and I thought, how am I going to follow that? It was so good we left it up for 2 months. I had to come up with something quick. So hopefully it's something different, especially for me. I do kind of aquatic underwater scenes, abstracts. And so for me to do buildings with something very different, I try not to be too structural. I had to drink a little whiskey to loosen it up and make it boozy, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. And you're doing it all in acrylics, is that right?
All in acrylics on canvas, yeah. Wow. And I do a little freehand before I just kind of sketch it out, except for the angelfish. They were a stencil that I used and just...
So the stencils for the repeating patterns. Like tessellation, almost some M.C. Escher inspiration.
And absolutely. Yeah. And then I have come up, since the angelfish, I've come up with things that I want to also do, like buffaloes or crows or frigate birds and some other things that I want to do too, similar to that angelfish. But the flower pattern and the buildings are just a complete departure for me.
So coastal environmental scenes are kind of part of your theme. Tell me a little bit more about your connection to that.
The water theme is heavy in all of my work. Fish, and then the garden, of course. So it's the things that I love the most. I sail with Josh McGee on Wednesday night. We've been sailing together for several years and friends for a long time. I'm his crew. He's a better skipper than I am. So I'm a competitive sailor also.
Did you sell anything here this weekend?
Yeah, actually the big floral in the window is, I believe, sold. I have to stretch it, but that's no big deal.
Well, Amy Kramer, Artist of the Month at Gallery 20, thanks for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you, Steve. Great to see you.
Good to see you, too.
The Art.BSL podcast is brought to you by the generous financial support of our listeners. Click the Be a Patron button from the Podbean app to learn more about how you can support our production costs through crowdfunding. Get a cool Art.BSL t-shirt and other cool swag, and thanks for your support.
OK. Okay, that's a wrap on episode 5. We did it, Steve.
Is that really 5 episodes?
Should we keep going?
Absolutely. You know, but I got to tell you, this is harder than I thought.
It's a lot of work. I'm really impressed with how much work you're putting into it. I feel you very too. Proud you of too. What we've done.
Yeah, if you look at the first 5 episodes as a body of work, I'm quite proud of it. And I think it's something there. We really appreciate the great feedback that we've been getting from the very few people who are listening to this.
Yeah, we want to remind people that these podcasts are live on the internet forever. Please go listen to it if you missed any of them.
Yeah, and that's right. We're, you know, and there seems to be an access problem, or people seem to think it's difficult to listen to the podcast, but you know, it's available on, if you have an Amazon Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play the art.bsl podcast. It's on Google Podcasts. It's not on iTunes, but we're working to make it more accessible.
We're getting there. We need more people to listen. Can you share it with your friends? Can you tell your friends to listen? Comments, likes. Oh, how about subscribing to our Facebook page? That's where you can find out what we're going to be doing next.
Yeah, please like the art.bsl podcast Facebook page and give us some feedback.
We're so grateful for all the listeners that are out there and for our patrons. We have 4 people giving us a few dollars a month.
You can click on the Be a Patron button on the homepage, artbsl.podbean.com.
It means a lot to us. And while we are doing this out of our love of art and BSL, this equipment is kind of expensive.
We need to make it sustainable. You can pledge as little as $1 a month, and we appreciate every dollar.
That's it. It's a wrap on this episode of Art.BSL, the podcast with a finger on the pulse of the buzzingest arts and culture scene on the Gulf Coast. I'm your host, Steve Barney, the Mad Potter of Bay St. Louis, inviting you to join me and my illustrious team of insiders, wise guys, and know-it-alls every week as we take a deep dive journey into what's happening in Old Town, the Depot District, and all across the coast. So thanks for listening, and see you next week for another episode of Art.BSL.